go before you recharge it and things like that, and whether or not mac and cheese is a main dish or a side dish, you know, things like that. I thought your answer was great. Well, Chick-fil-A says it's a side dish, so that was a perfect answer there. So, but my favorite is a hot dog a sandwich or not a sandwich, okay? But the questions on the Bible and some other deep issues was great, and it was nice to just to be able to hear what kinds of issues that are going on in the lives of all of us, and even in you. So I have a few more questions I'd like to ask you before you share this morning, whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart. The first is the most important part, your family. Can you introduce yourself, your family background, and let us get to know you just a little bit more?
Yeah, my wife and kids are in the mother's room, or whatever you would call it. That's what we call it.
That's a good one. I like that.
So Carissa was born February of this month. Of this year, and Raphael was born in April 2018, so he'll be three early next year. There's four of us. My wife and I have been married coming up on 6 years.
Great, congratulations. That's great. Thanks. Are you a Ravens fan, an Orioles fan, or a Crab fan? What do you enjoy most?
I love sports, but I never got into tagging on to a team.
Okay.
But I do love sports. I played a lot growing up.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, he's a great athlete. What kind of job have you been working in at this particular time? And also, which goes along with that, why are you interested in working with kids and in pastoring in this way?
So I don't know if I found it or if it found me. It's kind of, I just trust it's God's will along the way, being revealed to me. And I'm a teacher now at Greater Grace Christian Academy. I'm in my fourth year there. I'm a middle school teacher, if I didn't say that. Yes. So sixth, seventh, and eighth grade I teach, and that's why the questions last night didn't faze me.
You're very comfortable, I can tell. Yeah.
I was telling you earlier that if the kids try to distract me in class with like random questions unrelated, you know, they just know they're gonna end up with more homework. So, you know, they get to decide how that goes, I suppose. But I volunteered in some schools before that. I was in Romania with my wife. We were married over there. So I worked at an international school there. So I've just kind of, it's grown on me. It was my practicum in college, teaching in sixth grade, assisting in sixth grade. So yeah, I do believe I love ministry. I love Christian schools in particular, Christian education. I've always been teaching the Bible. It's a part of our curriculum, being a Christian school, giving a biblical worldview through the subjects that we teach, which is awesome, and just trying to convey to the students that it all ties into God's creation one way or another, and that it's about you. It's not about the subject. It's about you. Like our principal likes to say, you know, ask the teachers what subject do you teach? Or what do you teach? And the correct answer to him is you teach students. Now it's not, what do you teach? You teach students. You don't teach subjects. You know, that's the aim is the student growing, and as we would say in a Christian school, growing in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. That the most important thing is, you know, we're all made in the image of God, and how are we going to help people become more like that? Mm-hmm. Not just intellectually, but spiritually speaking. Mm-hmm. So, having said that, how have you seen students grow, you know, spiritually in that way? What has been helpful, you know, in getting them to that next level of spirituality, even in their intellectual academic pursuits as well?
Yeah, so we do take a discipleship approach in our school, where we care for them as individuals. There's no guarantee that it's all going to click. So we tend to them, we shepherd them, you know, in a lot of ways. We're connected with the church, so we have counselors available, and the principal also likes to say, I love it when students are sent to the office. It's my best time with them, you know, one-on-one. And so they're not usually there because they were amazing, but for other reasons.
But they come out amazing.
Yeah, they come out a changed person. But so, yeah, I mean, I went to that school a little bit myself, not all the way K through 12, but, yeah, you see people that are promising, but then they go off the rails. And then you see people that you think are a lost cause, and they just get on fire for God. And and I think I was somewhere in the middle of that. I had a love-hate relationship with my teachers. That's what they tell me. And that's what I tell them. And so I think my I can speak for myself that my passion for life came through my relationship with God. And so the subjects kind of become alive to you. You see how they tie into God's world, right? And isn't that the truth, that it's God's world, not ours, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What are your hobbies? What do you like to do in your spare time besides being with the children? I know
exactly.
That's definitely a hobby.
Yeah, lots of laps in the neighborhood.
Okay.
My wife says get them outside. They need to have fresh air.
Yes.
And so that's good. Mm. And played sports, a lot of soccer before the two little ones. I still play sometimes. And I just did paintball like a month ago. That was fun. That was for my birthday. Well, it was in October. And we went camping not too long ago. So once they get a little older, we'll do some more of that stuff.
Oh, that's great. I can see you got cleaned up from the last game there.
Yes. So
it's great. Last question before you share is a little bit more about what God has placed upon his heart. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, do heartily unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not you, obviously, that you're serving in a sense. It's God who you're serving. And so how has working with students in your capacity helped you understand more about the Lord? And him and his love for others, or wherever you want to go with that.
Yeah, so we touched on this last night for a second, like that in Christ we see grace and truth in John 1. And I think that's so important that this world, none of us would make it without grace, right?
Mm-hmm,
right. And so like God is like, we're along for the ride, and it's all about the issue of the heart, you know? Like that in our hearts, that we are being softened and submitting to God, you know, and that's definitely not an overnight thing. So responding to his initiations by faith, I really trust in young people that God is working in their life. That's an assumption that I hold.
Sure.
I'm not here. I don't tell people, you know, I wouldn't tell anyone what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, kind of like with Samuel, like, you know, respond to God's initiating to you, or just respond to it. Mm-hmm. And that's 101 for developing a walk with God, right? Hearing from God on your own. At Greater Grace, the seniors every year at the beginning of the school year have a little retreat. And the emphasis is like it's a one night stay, on the Eastern Shore, and the emphasis is learning to hear from God. And so they spend like a 30 minute time out. They can bring like a pen and a notebook or something, and they're just out in nature kind of thing. And they come back, and the testimonies are always awesome.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, that's what we want to do. We want to hear from the Lord. And can I pray for you before you start?
Sure, please.
Okay. Let's just join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for our brother in Christ here this morning. Bless his family. Be right now with them. Be with us right now. Give us ears to hear. Give us a soft and tender heart. Open to the seeds of your truth, as our brother mentioned, grace and truth. Lord, we hope that after these next 20 minutes or so, we'll be better than where we were before the word was shared. So help us to be that good soil so the seed can get planted very deeply. And for those that are here for the first time, we ask God that you would speak to them as well. And those of us that have been here for a long time, we hope that we'll be a more loving, peaceful, patient, kind, gracious, and as our brothers shared, believing in the best in others, not expecting the worst, but expecting the best, as he has with students over the years. Thank you for that's the way you treat us. So we can't wait to see, Father, what you're going to do here this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Hi. And everyone on the internet. Where's the camera? Is it that? There. Hi, everyone. Okay, so eye contact helps. So just a few... Oh, I didn't get the clicker. You can just... Oh, it's right there. Perfect. Yeah, good. That's it. Oh, there's a fourth one in there. So we're just going to look at four little passages. I'm talking about just reflecting on the advent of Christ, and mainly through the perspective of Mary. And yeah, that's good. So this, and then I'm going to get to something small about you know, parents in the situation with raising kids, and then a kid learning from Christ, because what's fascinating is that Jesus had to grow up too, and didn't we all have to? And don't children today have to, right? That's not going anywhere, no matter what technology we come up with. We're not skipping up the whole growing up thing that we have to do, that we all have to go through, and that period of adolescence, I suppose we could call it, right? So I don't know how this will go, but I'll just kind of speak to you as informally as possible, but say something from God's word. I like to think of teenagers as adults in training. I think that's really important that they are coming of age, and you know they need they're going to be off on their own eventually. And I tell the kids in middle school, like, you know, you got a problem with your parents telling you what to do now. That's not going to change when you turn 18. They're going to be advising you the rest of your life. But when you become an adult, like, that's such a fascinating thing, isn't it, to think about? And I like to keep that in their mind, that they're going to become adults. And so this period of time is important for them to enjoy, but at the same time, it's not the end game. You know, they're going somewhere, and they need to be prepared for that. So I'm going to touch on that, I suppose, at the end of what I'm going to share with you right now. So the first little scene here is Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel, and I'm just going to read Luke 1, verse 29. Since I have a few verses to read, I won't read the whole story. Otherwise, we would be reading Luke 1 and 2, and that would be too much. So Luke 1:29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So obviously Gabriel is a messenger and foretelling not only that she is going to have a baby, but that her cousin had a baby. Is having a baby, her Elizabeth. So Elizabeth is 5 months and some change pregnant at this point, and she had kind of kept that as a secret, but she was very proud of it, of course, because back in those days, I mean, it's still something difficult today, but being barren wasn't easy, and that was her case. She could not have children, and then. How many of those stories are in the Bible, huh? It's kind of a funny thing, like, to think about. Like, God loved to use barren women. And it's quite a shocker, not only the news of her cousin having a child, but of herself. And she said, how could I have a child? I haven't been with a man. And so what I'm going to emphasize here through these portions that we're going to go through quickly is just Luke makes special note of how Mary is processing this. And I think that that's kind of like one of the key elements that I want to share with you this morning is we have to process life. Like it's God gave us a mind for a reason. That's an incredible gift. And it's so important. And something that would be very important to me as a youth minister would be to helping students and young people process life. I think that is so key. And Mary is having to do this, right? So this goes for parents as well, I suppose, doesn't it? And it goes for all of us, that life is not easy for us as human beings. And life is full of tragedy, disappointment, and that list could go on, and I don't want to get stuck in that. But the point is that we need a star like the shepherds had, and I'm going to look at that right now. Luke chapter 2, verse 19, I'm going to read this, and it also speaks of Mary and this processing thing that she's going through. So the shepherds visit Jesus in the manger, and Luke chapter 2, verse 19 says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." So each of these four cases that I'm looking at with you this morning is a different Greek word, and so it's kind of an interesting point worth making, is that there's a little bit of a different emphasis. The situation is unique, and her processing of the situation is unique. So different translations do give you a different angle on the Greek word, and I just appreciated that in my study. The first one that we read was that emphasized reasoning. So with the angel Gabriel, she was troubled and she reasoned in her mind what the salutation might be. And in this case, with the shepherds visiting the manger, there's two words here. Mary kept these things in her mind, like preserved, like she didn't let it go. She treasured it, one other way it's put, and then she pondered them in her heart. And so it's kind of like what a pastor would love for the congregation to do after the message. Like let's just park there for a minute. Let's think about what we heard, and let's not let it go. You know, Monday's coming and the week's coming, like we heard in the worship service. You know, and who knows what's coming, right, Moses? And we need what we heard this morning, right? And Mary understood that about her life. She's like, something's going on here, and I need to think about this. I don't want this moment to leave me. If you've ever felt this way, I'm sure you have, I have, where God had revealed this himself to you in this like incredible way, and then like 6 months later, you're like, God, just show yourself to me. And God's like, wow, you people are finicky, or finicky, like you, not a problem. It's actually my pleasure. That's my perspective on God's nature. Like, it's my pleasure to reveal myself to you, but isn't it funny how much we need that and depend on that? And there's no problem with that, but it's just something that could humor us for a second. Like, God did reveal himself to you 100 times, right? And yet, especially in our day and age, you know, everything, life is just coming at us so fast, and the special moments are just moments in the past. It's kind of like going through your camera roll on your phone, and you're like, wow, I can't believe, oh yeah, we did that. I totally forgot that even happened, right? And if we could do that with our walk with God and just remember, right? All the times that God has been faithful in our lives, done really like I think it's fair to say even miraculous things in our lives. Like in some cases, it's like a divine appointment. Like God brought someone to you that had the word that you needed. Okay. And then thirdly, we have Luke chapter 2. And I'll have to find this one. Okay, good, got it. Verse 33. And this is the parents, Mary and Joseph, interacting with Simeon at the temple. So there was a waiting period before the child was to be presented at the temple. And Simeon says, wow, you know, basically glory to God. He was expecting this. He was waiting this for this moment. He had been told of God that he would see the Messiah, Israel's Messiah. And I could just read that quickly. Sovereign Lord, this is verse 29, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. So just imagine you're at the store and someone stops you and just says this of your child, right? Like, whoa, what just happened? Okay, that's not going to happen. Verse 33, so Mary, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, right, about Jesus, marveled. And that's a good word there. And we could just think about that. Like in amazement, right? And that's so important in the Christian life, actually, just to be amazed by God or when God speaks through people. Like we need to marvel, right? We could be so cold or so serious. Let's be honest, so lifeless at times. And yet God breathes on a situation or through a person into your life. And just whatever you're doing, you know, you can spare 5 minutes, right? And just to marvel and be amazed. And to relate this back to our theme tonight about parents and children, we can also marvel and be amazed at how God is working in the life of your kids. You know, we forget that, but just, I said in the little interview time with Pastor Tom, like, just hold that as an assumption that God is working in the life of your child, unless you don't believe God answers prayer. Because haven't we all prayed for our children? And if we believe God answers prayer, and if we, do you think that we are asking amiss? Like it says in James, do you think that we are asking something that God wouldn't? Does not your prayer align with the heart of God, that your children would come to know him? So I think it's a safe assumption that God is working in your child's life. And so be amazed at how God is doing that. Like just, you're just living in expectation from God. That takes faith, I understand that. But Pastor Tom and I were joking last night, we poured water on the fire, right? And Pastor Tom's like, do we need another bucket? And I said, well, if that thing starts back up, it's proof of God's existence, right? Like Elijah, you know, like we quenched that fire pretty good. And there's maybe you're looking at life like that, you know, it's like just buckets of water on coals, and it's like, well, how is this thing going to get lit back up, right? But God's been there, done that, right? Isn't that true? And he even did it in your life. Why don't you think about that for a second? You know, like how God brought you to himself, and couldn't he do that to your children? Like, hasn't he been at this for a few generations now, right? So, lastly, and probably the most shocking one for Mary is when Jesus starts talking back to her. And this happens in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And Jesus says to her, why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? So luckily, Mary had the appropriate response to that. Talk back, no, 12-year-old Jesus, verse 50, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 51, then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. Oh, so he wasn't rebelling. That wasn't like a moment of rebellion. They realized he's obedient. He's not in some state of rebellion or something. I mean, what do they know of who he should be as a preteen or not? You know, like, is Jesus going to act up? Who knows? But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. This one is very similar, still different, but very similar to Luke 2:19, where she said she kept these things in her mind. So, these crazy little interactions with Mary, in the life of Mary, before, at the moment of, shortly after, and 12 years later. All these events surround the birth of Christ, the advent of Christ. And so in closing here, I just want to make special emphasis on this, and this ties in with like my vision of youth ministry. Luke 2, verse 52, the last verse in this chapter. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And so there's four categories there. Wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with men. The first one, and I said at the beginning that we all needed to grow up at one point, right? And so don't our children. They need to grow up wisdom, that's mentally. Stature, physically. Favor with God, spiritually. And favor with men, relationally. So I would just look at, I would like to take a holistic approach to discipleship in this sense, in this way, where we emphasize these four categories, or we just have an awareness of them, and an understanding of them, and of their importance. I like to tell my middle schoolers, you know, you're all gonna grow up biologically, but that doesn't mean that you're gonna grow up in these other categories, mentally, relationally, spiritually. There's a lot of children and adults' bodies out there, I like to say. And, there's this new disease called permanent adolescence. And it's a serious one. I'm reading a book right now on that very subject by Ben Sass called The Vanishing American Adult. And he lays it out there pretty well. And I think it's such an important subject that, he's a little bit in politics as a senator from Nebraska, and he says basically that, you know, our republic is at stake here. I recall often the little phrase Benjamin Franklin said, we've given you a republic if you can keep it, right? And so we must think of our nation that way, that it must be, democracy is preserved by, is made up of individuals that have half a brain and know how to use it. And so God is, and the same for our walk with God, that God has given us the faculties necessary to relate to him. He's given us a body, a soul, and a spirit. And by this, we devote our lives to God. Of course, the best example that our children have is us. And we don't take that lightly, but speaking from my own experience, when times in my family were difficult, I had a youth ministry, and that made of a world of a difference in my life. I remember my youth pastor. I remember seeing them on outreach. We would go do street evangelism together, or in a Bible study, or even just playing sports in the gym, and all these interactions meant the world to me growing up. And so I give them a lot of credit for how I got my relationship with God off the ground, you could say. We're here for our kids, and then to think of the period of time of the year that we're at, thinking of the advent of Christ, how magnificent this time of year is. I was thinking it's kind of difficult to separate Christ's birth from the whole story, because it's not the whole story. You know, the whole story, I mean, it starts with creation, right? I mean, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? The whole story, that's what's beautiful about the Gospel of John. Creation, the birth of Christ, his death, his earthly ministry, the resurrection and his second coming. And we're in the middle of that story still somehow. Isn't that amazing? The story isn't over. I pray for us that we we get that type of mentality or posture within ourselves, like Mary had, where we are reflecting and we are receiving what God has for us in this time. Amen. So we pray now, Lord, for that exactly, that you would be ministering to us, that we would be receiving your ministry to us this time of year. And we are so thankful that you came. Thankful for this church and what it represents, the body of Christ on earth. And we pray for the families in this church and the young people that I had the privilege of meeting last night. Thank you, God, for the service this morning, the worship team, and everybody involved. Amen.